WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Dude.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet's slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's been a depressing week as a wrestling fan.
yeah.
Oh my god, it's just bad news left and right. We're going to get into it. For now, it is me, the be-all, end-all of our network, the Omega. Light cast today, we have Mace.
I'm dead.
No. Good. Just you and me, Rock.
Yay! We can talk about stuffs. How about horses with no legs? Want to get back into that?
I think we've beaten that horse to death.
Many times over. We are sick people. At least we're not as sick as King Kins. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WDR Sunday Night Live right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by PWMania.com. Tim is on the road somewhere. He's a traveling salesman at this point, so he's not here tonight. So, yeah. We're here what a shock. He was supposed to be here if we started at 11, and, well, he's not back yet. So... We're going to get into Extreme Rules. We are not covering TNA Sacrifice here on this show.
Why not?
Because we're not. It's not in the format.
I know at least two out of the three of the people here have watched it. Or at least a majority of it.
I had better things to do.
It involved Legos.
Probably.
Like it always does.
I understand this. Since I too have been the purchaser of Legos.
Yeah, but you're not the purchaser of like $150 Lego sets that I turned into.
That's just insane. I'm just pointing that one out. You have problems, Omega.
The pirate ship was $250. That's problems.
Follow more of his Lego adventures on Twitter at TJ Omega.
While I can still afford a free Twitter account.
Yeah. So, what is your win for the week, Omega?
See, I always had to make sure it's not in the format before we actually get to it.
See, that's the thing. You can talk about it even if it's in the format, because then it'll transition into something later. You know.
I would say my win for the week would probably be Daniel Bryan gutting it out and performing on Monday. They got him out of the way quick. It was kind of obvious, but considering
the circumstances.
Yeah, considering the circumstances, he had the option to take the night off. He gutted it out and actually, he got the hell beat out of him, but he
did it for a good cause.
Yeah,
to go home to be with his family. If you don't know the story, unaware of it, Daniel Bryan's father passed away sometime in the last weekend. I would assume there was no exact date given. All we know was he found out on Monday when he got back from his honeymoon. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, we were talking about, man, it's the best week of his life between winning championship at WrestleMania.
Big moment in his career, one of the biggest ever. Marries his girlfriend of, 4 years? The love of his life.
Married Brie.
Buys a house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he comes back from being off the grid completely for his honeymoon, and his father had passed away. It's a tough one.
It's a kick in the balls is what it is.
Yeah, it really is. So, our condolences goes out to the Danielson family as they are grieving. Daniel Bryan is supposed to be at Raw Monday. I don't know if that's 100% at this point. I would keep him away from TV. But we'll get into why he should stay away later in the show when we preview the match for Extreme Rules. What's your whim, Mace?
Mine comes as a pair of matches from Raw.
Okay.
Bad News Barrett versus Sheamus was an extremely well done match. The fact that Barrett is finally starting to get over with the crowd and in a huge way, which is absolutely hilarious. It's like he's a heel, but he's over as fuck. That's awesome.
Yeah, he is. The I've got some bad news, which no one was reacting to early, people have got behind now.
Yeah, he seems to have really picked up the ball with that gimmick and run with it, and it's starting to pay off for him finally. Which is good, because a lot of us have said, you know, the guy's got talent, and he just needs the right thing to take off. And it seems this is his big chance. But also the other thing, Cesaro versus Rob Van Dam.
Okay, they were good matches, and they both involved the Intercontinental Championship tournament.
Yeah, wow, a mid-card title actually getting some good press. What a shock!
It is now the second title in the company, if you think about it.
Well, that's where it should have been.
It's
used to be many years ago.
It's been about, 12 years since that point?
And then some.
Yeah, 12, 13 years. 2001, I would assume, was the last time. It was the second title, because they brought in the WCW and then the world title with the invasion in 2001. It's two good wrestling matches for your win, Mace, but what's your fail?
Oh, let's see. We're trying to make Kane a monster once more. Anything to do with Evolution, anything to do with Emma, and the finish to the John Cena versus the Wyatts match.
One. Fail, not fails. Fail.
Well, but I got so many to pick from.
Fail. Pick a fail.
I suppose probably the worst one out of the lot. I'm going to go with the finish to the John Cena versus the Wyatts match.
What didn't you like about it?
Okay, both men get into the ring. Instead of trying to take control of the match, the referee's gone, nah, fuck it, see ya. And throwing it out on a DQ.
That's sort of one of their new unwritten rules. I think one person can interfere at a time.
Well, they need to make that known to the crowd, because that looked absolutely stupid on television.
they go back and forth with that. Like sometimes as you get one, you can break up a pin one time, and then the second time it's a disqualification. And now it's, you know, if it's a handicap or a tag, a six man tag, if both guys interfere, it's a DQ. I don't. It's one of their unwritten rules, like in hockey and baseball. They're just there that no one knows about.
Yeah, but they need. But the thing is, in the terms of professional wrestling, especially when they're trying to tell a story, they need to make these type of things clear to the crowd that are there, and also your television viewing audience. If we don't understand the rules of the match, then the ending just looks like a clusterfuck.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. It's just
no, I know. I'm just elaborating.
I know. It's. They use these unwritten rules to tell the stories I guess they want to tell that night. That's why they don't tell us.
Well, you know, they have commentators there. Instead of trying to make jokes at each other or put each other down on commentary, they could, you know, inform us of what, of, you know, rule changes and stuff like that.
You can get the rule changes on the WWE app. It's a special download, apparently. Omega, what's your fail?
Pink Snake.
You don't like Miss Cobra?
Oh my god. Okay, look, I'm... No. Just fucking no. Okay. The Cobra itself is stupid enough to begin with. Like, it's just silly, goofy pandering. More than anything. You're like, okay, Mr. Sacco, I might be able to understand. Okay, it's a dirty as hell, nasty sock that you don't want shoved in your mouth. Fine, got it. The other one's a snake. It's a green sock with a snake painted on it. And now there's a female version. It's so much to ask that I want to be able to take these people on TV seriously.
Yes.
Like, convince me you can actually win a match and not put on a puppet show. You know, I am watching WWE, not Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
But we had Mr. Sacco for all these years.
Like I said, that kind of makes sense. Aside from the fact it's Mick Foley and he's butt-fucking sane, you also have the fact that you don't want a fucking sock in your mouth.
Well, you also got to remember that the origins of Mr. Sacco were as a badly made hand puppet, which it is and always has been, to try and cheer up Vince when he was in the hospital in that famous sketch. Just happened that from there became something that the crowd enjoyed seeing. The Cobra, on the other hand, is purely a merchandise gimmick. And it's basically, oh, look, Santino made his hand look like a snake. We're going to give him a puppet that looks like a snake so we can sell it for $30 on WWEshop.com.
Yeah.
It's better than buying a $40 umbrella on ShopTNA.com. Anyway.
Like, it's not even that he made it look... It's not even that his finish is, that Cobra strike. It's the fact that that's the name. That's the only reason why. Like, if he had shouted anything else, you wouldn't have a green sock on his hand right now.
Oh, yeah.
No, but the fact is, the whole point of it is to scream Cobra like you are an 80s cartoon villain.
You can't even do it properly, which is even worse. See,
that should have been... See, just once... He needed to tag with CM Punk so him and his Cobra tattoo could actually do it properly.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, after seeing that, I did send a tweet to Mr. Buddy Murphy saying, please save us. Please make Americans actually realize that Australians can fucking wrestle and aren't dumb as a brick. I swear to God, like, Emma just... I know there's my personal hatred, but it's now getting ridiculous. you know, she is literally dumber than a brick.
Hey!
I know, it's an insult to bricks.
Yeah, I've got a very good friend who's a brick.
But, you know, this is the thing. Like, Australians have never had the best gimmicks in the world when it comes to the WWE. You know, we've held the only real examples, you know, we've had Outback Jack many, many years ago, overly stereotypically Australian. We've had Nathan Jones, less said about that idiot the better. Now we've got Emma, who's, as far as I'm concerned, a complete embarrassment to my country. And, you know, we're hoping that they decide to take the stereotypical Aussie gimmick away from, quote unquote, Buddy Murphy, or as I know him, Matt Silver, and actually let him develop his own character and actually show the ability that I've seen out of him for many years down here. Mm-hmm. And before anybody says anything, the Bushwhackers were New Zealanders. They are not Australians.
Wait, what?
Yeah, believe it or not, we still get the whole thing of, oh, but the Bushwhackers were Australian. No, they weren't. They are New Zealanders. That was the gimmick, and they even said it, that these guys are from New Zealand.
Y'all sound alike. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I know. Okay, you know, one of these days, I want you to get an Australian and a New Zealander standing next to each other and talk to both of them. You will see we are nothing alike. Even in the accent, we are nothing alike. But anyway.
So yeah, one's talking like Mace, and one says he can't speak, he's got a Peter Jackson movie to do.
That's the thing, I keep being told I don't actually sound like really deep accent. Unless I'm drunk, I know the accent doesn't come out as much. I've Americanized myself too much.
You have, because when you are drunk, your accent really comes out.
Which is why I'm not drinking.
So, that's win and fail for the week. We're moving right into what this entire show is dedicated to, and that's Extreme Rules, which is next Sunday, live on the WWE Network and pay-per-view, not DirecTV, because, well, they don't want to carry it anymore. We're going to start with the Intercontinental Championship Tournament title match. It will be Big E defending against either Rob Van Dam or Wade Barrett with the finals tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. Is there any chance?
No.
A new champion is crowned at Extreme Rules?
I would say no. Except Barrett is hot as hell right now. And honestly, Big E is champion, okay? Okay, he's a big guy and a brutish worker. He, you know, makes it look like it's going to be damn hard to take the belt off of him, but it's not really done a whole lot for him. You know, I don't know. It's a hard thing to say, because it's not that he's a bad champion. It's just, you know, I think Barrett could do much better with the belt.
So you're basically giving your boy, Rob Van Dam, no shot tomorrow.
No. With the way his schedule works, they're not going to put a title on him, unfortunately. Besides, belt's beneath him. How many fucking times has he won it?
A lot.
A lot.
Are you giving RVD any shot, Mace, tomorrow?
No.
No.
Well, it's like, as you said, you know, the IC title is very beneath Van Damme. He doesn't need it to get over. And the fact that he's working this, you know, I'm on 3 months, I'm off 3 months schedule, it's pointless to put the belt on him.
He's supposedly here till SummerSlam, so you can do the math.
Are we in? We're April. About to hit March.
May.
Well, about to hit May, June, July, August.
Australia's yeah, 2 months behind. Okay.
Shut up. Yeah,
I'm sorry, no, New Zealand is 2 months behind us. Sir.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so he's around for, what, 4 months? Yay. That really doesn't mean shit. At the same time, like, I reckon it's probably going to be Big E versus Barrett, but I don't see Barrett going over for the belt either. I could see this being the start of something feud-wise between Big E and Barrett.
Alright, so going on the predictions, you're going to be Big E at the pay-per-view?
Yes, Big E.
What about you, Omega? Are you leaning towards Bad News Barrett?
I'm leaning, but... there's... God damn this logic thing. I can't pick Barrett.
So it's a second person going for Big E Langston. Alright. We move right along, and I'll ask this question. Have you boys been impressed with Alexander Rusev since he's arrived officially in WWE?
Well, considering that he's only been beating up jobbers at this point.
But these jobbers have names, unlike the ones Ryback was beating up 2 years ago.
Yes, okay, so these jobbers
local
have
A,
names.
Local B.
These jobbers have names, like Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, Xavier Woods. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's not much of a step up from local A, B, and C. But there's one thing that really annoys me, though. Like, when he was in NXT, one of the big things that was, like, really impressive was he would come out with a 2x4 with his opponent's name on it and snap that thing in half with his knee. And that just... sort of gave the real impression from the get-go, this guy is something to be taken seriously as a threat, because, hell, when was the last time you saw somebody break a 2x4?
Mark Henry at some point?
Yeah, exactly. A guy like Mark Henry, yet you have a guy that's half the size of Mark Henry that can do the same power. That's dangerous. But they don't let him do it on the main show, which is really sad, to be honest, because it takes away that little bit of how threatening he can be. Mm-hmm. They're basically relying on him to stay silent or speak in a foreign tongue while he has his translator Barbie doll thing there with him to try and put him over. It's a short-term fix for a guy who has a lot of potential.
What's your reaction been to Alexander Rusev, Omega?
Oreo.
We're being big time by an Oreo, ladies and gentlemen. It's like Subway putting us on hold. Omega's eating an Oreo instead of talking on the show.
I was expecting Mace to go on about 15 seconds longer.
Now you've had your 15 seconds. What's been your reaction to Alexander Rusev?
Honestly, very meh. I mean, I really don't like these gimmicks of, oh, he's really powerful, he's going to destroy you all. Isn't that what everyone's trying to do? What makes your guy special? It's just, it's bland. It's flavorless. There's nothing to it. Okay, if you want to come out and break a 2x4 with someone's name on it, okay, fine. It's a little bit impactful. You'll remember it. You know, it's just the same old, I'm so good, I can beat you and anyone else. Everyone says that. Who goes in the WWE going, not in the face, not in the face?
Ric Flair.
Okay, but he makes it cool. Because as soon as he says that, he stabs you in the eye.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just... Honestly, if you didn't have Lana there kind of working it into an Ivan Drago thing, it would have absolutely nothing to it.
That being said, he's gonna handle Woods and Truth on Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's clear as can be, right? There's no way they're going to have R-Truth and Xavier Woods win.
No, no.
No, not after, you know, Woods has already had his ass handed to him.
I believe...
Yeah, Rusev's going to treat them like they're in an LA Clippers game.
30 minutes. 30 minutes.
How sad would you feel being Xavier Woods right now? Dude was... He was on NXT. So much charisma. So much, you know, uniqueness. And, you know, he had this look, great wrestling ability and everything. You get put on the main roster, and you're Archer's sidekick.
That's what's up.
You're Archer's sidekick with borrowed music.
Yeah.
And they still haven't given you your own... I still have not heard him announce to the ring on WWE Raw. Or SmackDown, for that matter. It's always a commercial break, or he's always with R-Truth. Like, there's something in me going, there's a copyright lawyer that's still making sure Angel Grove is free to use.
Yeah, that's true. Especially because he does use the old wristwatch communicator sound as the start of his music.
Well, his old... So, yeah. his
the copyright old... lawyers are sitting somewhere going, let's see, how can we get away with this?
Well, they haven't... They don't even let him come to the ring going, and from Angel Grove, California.
And the fact that he used to call out, it's morphin' time before a finisher.
Oh, he still does.
But he has to be able to hit a finisher.
Yeah, he has to be in a position to go for it in the first place.
So...
That was cool to hear on that I did hear on Raw.
That one time.
That one time he actually got to use the finisher.
Alright, so the boys have Alexander Rusev beating R-Truth and Xavier Woods. Now, one of the big matches on the show next Sunday is the Steel Cage showdown between Bray Wyatt and John Cena. What's been your reaction to how they've taking this a step further since WrestleMania, Omega?
I'm not sure you can fairly call it a step further. As it has very much been the same mind games right down to the same song that we now have the fans singing, which is interesting. I mean, I haven't mind the build. I've been enjoying the program. I mean, it's provided Cena the one opportunity I've ever seen to actually look badass, being the, you know, impersonating a Wyatt momentarily. But, I don't know, like, I mean, I've enjoyed it, but I'm waiting for them to push it a little bit farther than they have right now.
Where would you take it? What's the next step in your mind?
That's a tricky one.
He has nothing.
Yeah.
Wait, you it's like you don't have that next step in mind. You just want to see it.
Well, yeah, well, that's the one thing about the whole Wyatt character. I don't know what the fuck it's going to do next. Which is the kind of thing I like about, you know, Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, is it creepy and potentially nightmare-inducing? Yes? Well, it's probably a good direction.
Let's throw it to you, Mace. How... do you see this? How do you see the feud since WrestleMania?
It's been continuing, and it's sort of ramped up a little bit. But I think that the way that Mania turned out with Cena being, well, Cena, sort of defeated a bit of the purpose. It's like all the build-up goes in favor of the Wyatts, and then when you get to the actual match, everything just does 180.
Well, especially with the finish, because reportedly Vince didn't want John Cena and The Undertaker losing on the same show.
So this might actually give Ray a chance at redemption leading into
But think about that. Vince didn't want Taker and Cena losing at WrestleMania. Then why do you have Taker?
Well, I think it was either like one or the other don't have both.
Both, right.
Yeah, so
I think I've explained before why it makes sense for Taker to actually have lost.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to certain other hosts on the network, but...
Oh, we get that, and...
I mean, Bray didn't look bad losing.
No, he didn't.
He still looked great.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, when it comes down to the one-on-one situation, it's almost guaranteed it's going to go in Cena's way, because, well, it's Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a loss to Bray, as much as it would make a lot of people pissed off, and people going, oh, it doesn't make sense, it makes perfect sense. The whole point of the storyline is for Cena to, quote-unquote, as Bray's been saying, unleash the monster, to get angry, to let that aggression out.
Right.
If it comes through that every time that they fight, you know, whether it be multi-man, one-on-one, you know, a multi-man situation, tag situation or something, Cena loses those. But when it comes down to one-on-one, he's always victorious, which is the part that does make sense. You should have Cena losing to the point where he snaps. You know, this is all about the deconstruction of John Cena. You know, both verbally, mentally, and we need the physical, but we're not getting the physical.
Right. Me and Mace like a comic book character named Carnage who is all about proving that everyone is an animal as long as you can break them down and let them no longer care about, you know, laws or rules or anything like that. Everyone's just as insane as everyone else. They just keep themselves in check. That's what they're going for here. And eventually, yeah, something needs to happen to make it snap, or honestly, Bray comes off as ineffective. You know, it's the same way. Okay, you know, and there's other ways to spin that. We saw that with Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a way of making it so that Bray looked effective, even though, okay, well, originally it was not supposed to be a two-week thing, but it turned into that. But the way they took out still made it seem, you know, still made it seem like, okay, Bray's good, you know, but Brian is just one step better.
Right.
So to do it again, yeah, he actually needs to overcome Cena. He needs to win and show that his mind games actually do work.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It also works on the reverse. Cena losing makes the whole thing of Bray's taking away my fans, Bray's taking away the power of what gets me through a match a whole lot more effective is when he starts losing, because he starts believing in it. And that's where the whole Bryan thing started to work, was when Bryan started to believe the words of Bray Wyatt. And right. If you're in a situation where it comes down to, sure, they beat me in multi-man, they take every advantage they can get, now I'm in a steel cage with Bray. Oh, well, I'm one-on-one with him. I'm going to beat him. That's easy. Cool. That just puts everything, all the torture and everything, just becomes secondary. And it's like, oh, well, when it gets to the match situation, I'm always going to come out on top. So why does what he say matter?
Unless he doesn't come out on top next Sunday.
It's hard to say... to go against Cena, though. That's the thing. He's beaten Bray once at WrestleMania on the biggest stage of them all. Putting a cage around them isn't going to change the outcome. It's John Cena in a one-on-one match. How many of those does he lose? Not many. Especially in a big-time situation where you put a gimmick on top of it.
Maybe if Bray changes his name to Dwayne.
I reckon Bray should just come in with some green rocks. Just have some painted green rocks just for the laugh factor. Just throw them at Cena and see if it works.
Have Eric Rowan start throwing them at him. So what's your pick for the steel cage match? Omega.
Actually, I'm going with Bray on this one. I think they'll carry it out at least another month, and I would like to see a month where, you know, leading up to the rematch, I'd like to see just like a run of a few Raws where Cena's very quick to anger, you know, very loose cannon. You know, like visibly affected by what Bray has been working into his head.
It really would be nice. Mace, are you going John Cena?
No, I'm actually going to try and keep some faith that they have a bit of brains in their head when it comes to booking and go with Bray Wyatt taking the win so they can extend this out a bit further.
That would make the most L-word don't use sense. Yeah, L-word sense in that
case. I was
going to
say, don't.
I've been barred from using that L-word. But we now ask one other person their thoughts on the build-up between John Cena and Bray Wyatt heading into Extreme Rules, and that will be the voice of this very show, Tim Stein. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Have you been enjoying this build-up to the Steel Cage showdown between Wyatt and Cena?
No.
Take the fun out of everything.
He's a party pooper.
Plus, he's a wealth of information.
I know, right? But why aren't you enjoying this build?
Because it's John Cena.
Any other thoughts beyond it? Because it's John Cena?
Because they really fucked things up in the main event that should not have been the fucking main event last Monday night on Raw, which would be my fail, by the way.
Well,
and it's a piss me off. It's an unwritten rule. Well, fuck, like, let everybody know what the goddamn unwritten rules are, even if you have to write them down so they're no longer unwritten rules. Fine. Okay, it's a 3-on-1 handicap match. What the hell are you doing a DQ? This is re-frickin-tarded. Guess what? The cage match at Extreme Rules is going to be thrown out on a DQ. Why? Because creative is a bunch of tools. Thank you. Yes, that was just a little bit of sarcasm. Just the tiniest little touch.
Good thing you didn't watch the TNA pay-per-view tonight. Anyway.
Don't tell me they did that.
No. They just had Dixie Carter in a beard. Anyway.
Almost as bad.
Wait a minute. You said Dixie Carter in a beard and not and a beard?
In a beard.
Okay, because if you had said Dixie Carter and a beard, then that would have just been a total whole different thing, and we'd have gotten in trouble from the LGBT community.
Yeah, we don't need that. Anyway.
But 10 people figured that one out.
So you haven't been enjoying this at all, Tim?
Not so much. I mean, yeah, I love the Wyatt family. Don't get me wrong. John Cena's stale. It's bottom line. That's all there is to it. Maybe he should F off for a few months and do a movie or something. I don't know. But it's just fine. We've been bitching and harping and whining and you know, Super Cena. We've been on his case for a good 3 years now. And not without just cause. Let's face it. He's stale. And I just am not, you know, even when we were harping on him years ago, you know, a couple years ago, I still found him entertaining, you know, at times, to a point. He just puts me to sleep now.
So you're leaning Bray Wyatt on next Sunday?
I'm thinking, well, yeah, Bray Wyatt's going to win. That's almost a no-brainer, I would think, if creative and booking know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
I love that they have the same caveat.
Yeah, sometimes it's hit and miss. You never know.
You never know. But going backwards, because you were on the road for the first two, R-Truth and Xavier Woods battling Alexander Rusev.
Who's that chick with Alexander Rusev? What's her name?
Lana.
The Russian bitch. What is it?
Lana.
Lana Anna?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who's winning, Lana.
Okay. So Rusev,
because she's going to have the majority of eyes on her.
And then, because it's the Intercontinental Championship match, Big E defends against either Rob Van Dam or Wade Barrett. Where are you leaning on Monday?
It can't be RVD taking on Big E. It's going to wind up being Barrett, so I'm going to say Big E retains.
Okay.
That's my guess. And remember, these are just guesses.
These are just guesses.
Hey, everybody, say hello to the WTR Oreo. I see Heartbreak Mike's tuned in tonight for a change.
Yes, yes, he is.
Has he tried calling in yet?
No.
We were interrupted by an Oreo, however.
We were. Give him an hour and a half. Yeah, what, were you eating cookies again, Omega?
Yeah.
Damn it, I knew it. Did you save me any?
I did, but you have to come get them.
Well, I've got butter tarts for you here.
Who wants?
They're store-bought, not homemade.
I like that you have to clarify that, Tim.
Yeah, there you go. And that being said, I have to put you all on hold. A very important phone call is just about to come in here. Talk to you in a minute.
Good thing, because we're going to break anyhow. So you're tuned in to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we come back, at this point, me and Omega, since everyone else has abandoned us, we will get into the final three matches.
We're all alone!
Available at press time. So you tune in to WTR Sunday Night Live. Cross the airway.
I'm alone. We're scared. Hold me.
Go curl up next to your Legos. We'll be back right after this.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Parks, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air. Every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
For the Extreme Rules theme this coming Sunday night. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by PWMania.com. We're here to get into the second half of Extreme Rules, and we're going to start with the Divas Championship, Paige defending against Tamina Snuka. Oh my god.
Well, it's a good match on paper.
It is a good matchup on paper.
I mean, both very capable workers. Well, Paige, if you see her in NXT, very capable worker. She hasn't actually gotten anything to really showcase herself properly on Raw yet.
She's faced Alicia Fox and Aksana, so...
Like I said, nothing to really showcase her.
Bar is a little bit lower. Before you continue, did you know that Rosa Mendez actually has a finishing move?
Rosa Mendez has a job?
Yes, she does. But she also has a finishing move, apparently. And it's actually a submission hold.
We've got a lot of divas with submissions lately.
Yeah, it's called the Rosa's Thorn, apparently. This was a news headline, and I'm sending you guys a picture of it. And I'll post it in our chat room as well of what her submission is. Sort of looks like she's holding hands, but that's just me.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah, I can see what this is.
Yeah.
So, arms crossed across up around the throat area. She needs to lock the leg in or something to make it look more impressive.
Impressive.
Yeah. At this point, it looks like they're just bridging on her knees.
Yeah. So, yeah. On paper, it looks good. Will it turn out to be good, Omega?
It should. It's not like I'm betting against this match or anything, but they're both really good workers. If they give them some time and turn them loose a little bit, then, yeah, I could actually see this being a pretty solid match.
What about you, Mace? What's your thinking?
This is Paige's first actual, Well, it's Paige's first actual test since winning the title from AJ.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because, let's face it, the people she's gone up against since winning the title haven't exactly been, like, you know, actual ring technicians or anything.
No, but it's nice she's working her way through the roster, which is smart.
Yeah, because, you know, AJ didn't do it and then just got absolutely boring because she had nobody against to go against, but okay.
That said, Paige isn't one and done, is she?
Oh, hell no. This will be the, oh my god, she defeated the next, you know, the toughest girl in the competition who hasn't actually wrestled a proper one-on-one match in quite a while, at least to my knowledge.
SmackDown, she faced Natty.
Again, SmackDown.
Hey, it happened. It'll probably happen on Raw, too. It's the way they do things. So
you gotta feel bad for the Divas roster.
Why?
Because at this point, you've been going this long with AJ as the champion, and very deserved at that. But it's an entire... God, how long did she hold that belt?
294 days.
Her and her diva equivalent to her boyfriend's run?
Mm-hmm. No, get it right. Fiancé.
Fiancé's run. Right, right.
Gotta get the terminology correct.
And now we turn around and we're going to elevate Paige here in the main roster and immediately give her the title. None of you that have been on the main roster all this time are actually going to get a shot at it. We're going to give it to this new girl and we're going to do the same thing. So go out and lay on your backs so this girl can look good. Just like you've done for the last 8 months.
So, agreement, Paige?
Yeah, Paige.
Okay. Moving on to probably what will be the main event of the show, but for our consideration, we'll ask it now. 6-man tag team showdown. The returning Evolution taking on the Shield. Omega.
Hmm. S.H.I.E.L.D. has had a lot of three-on-three matches that made them look really good. This has the potential to make them look amazing. I mean, just take out the whole, okay, they're rehashing Evolution thing. You got three former world champions, and Triple H, one of the biggest names in the business for fucking ever.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah, on paper, just looking at names, this is by far their biggest match. So, it's got the potential to make all of them look like main eventers. Batista aside, it's going to be good.
And to Batista's credit, he's gotten back into shape somewhat. Because WrestleMania wasn't bad on his part. He actually carried himself pretty well. All things considered.
I know, maybe I just don't like him as a worker to begin with.
Well, can't help it there. All right, I'm going to pitch it to Maze and just say, go. I read Twitter, so I'm just saying, go. At the Maze thing, by the way.
Yeah, my distaste for the whole bringing back Evolution thing, yeah, that's well and truly documented. But I stand with Omega on this. This has the chance to make the Shield look absolutely amazing by carrying these three broken shells of men through a great fucking match.
Wow. Okay.
Well, actually, the two broken shells of men and Triple H. I'll give Triple H his due, even though the guy wrestles maybe once or twice a year every time. Every time he wrestles, he still wrestles like he never fucking lost a step.
Because he's the game. Anyway.
It's because the guy trains like a fucking boss.
He's got to keep up with the old man. You know that.
Fuck God. I'd like to see Vince take on his Triple H's fucking way of training before a big match. Vince would finally have that heart attack that would kill him. But... Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of Evolution coming back. I'm not a fan of them suddenly taking one of the main spots. This was just a way to try and recover a lot of the momentum that they lost with the whole Batista versus Randy Orton thing leading into Mania. This is just a desperate attempt to salvage this. Yeah, but it's going to be a good opportunity for the Shield. I'm going the Shield to win, especially Roman Reigns. But all three men are going to shine, and it's going to show that, at least it's going to show that at bare minimum, Batista needs to take 6 months off and go and spend the entire time on a fucking treadmill.
So, Omega, you're leaning which direction?
Oh, that's actually tough, because I'm not
probably leaning
sure.
Back in his chair right now.
I'm honestly not sure if this has any legs beyond one match. Because it's one of those things where if you're going to make Evolution out to be a big deal, being back, I don't see how you can let them lose the first time out. I mean, maybe calling them Evolution is, the novelty of it. It's, Triple H withstanding, I'll give him a credit here and say three active guys, that are all, main eventers. It's not like they dragged half of them out of retirement just to do it.
These were basically your WrestleMania main eventers, sans Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, this is Team Shield versus Team We All Lost to Beardman.
And those three made Beardman, so are they going to make the Hounds of Justice?
Oh, they're going to make Roman Reigns is what they're going to do.
And is that the right move?
Oh, yeah. Triple H, as an active wrestler, is done. His role, if he gets in that ring, is to make someone else look good. Bottom line.
Right.
At this point, he has nothing to gain by actually wrestling, putting a belt on himself, or anything like that. You know, and being in the business end of that, he understands that. No, this is purely to make the Shield look good, regardless of what they actually plan to do with them. You know, and we already know they're going to make a monster babyface out of Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to the Shield, if only because I don't, given the characters that these guys have, and given how much Triple H is going to be willing to work. This really just feels like it's there solely to make the Shield look good. So I don't see it going more than one time.
And then finally, three tombstones later and a Howard Finkel Hair Club for Men gift card, Kane is back. And he's a monster. And he's challenging in an Extreme Rules match for the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan. Mace.
Look, the beatdown on Monday was brilliant. I'll give them that. If it's one thing that I'm sick of, it's... Oh, look, Kane, we're going to try and make you more human. Oh, wait, we need a heel to take somebody on. Kane, can you put the mask back on, please? Try and be a monster, even though that hasn't been scary since, like, 1998, when you debuted. Can you try and do that again, please, with a crowd that really knows you're just a guy? You know, it's a gimmick that doesn't work, but we're going to try and push it anyway. And I'm sorry, I'm starting to see repeat patterns. Like, at this point, I'm calling it early, but there's still a good chance that they can prove me wrong, given that the situations have been not in his favor lately. But I can see Daniel Bryan's title reign going the same way Punk's did in 2011, where the guy was so built up, and when he won the belt, he didn't main event Raws, he didn't main event pay-per-views, his matches got pushed back on the card. Until they decide, oh, well, we don't want to have you have the belt anymore. Which I really don't want to see happen to Daniel Bryan, because the dude legitimately really has earned that belt over this past, you know, 9-10 months. And all the crowd support is still there for him as well, and still as loud as ever. But I just don't want them to start trying to bury his championship reign in the mid-card on Raw or on a pay-per-view. But, again, it's not a good start when they're putting him up against Kane that they want to be a monster one more time, which is something that hasn't worked in years. That being said, Bryan takes it.
What would you like to add on to that, Omega?
Ditto. Not really. This, in a weird way, this kind of works because this, you can spin this as the full circle between Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, you know, between, you know, from their original feud to reluctant allies to friendship and hugging it out to the corporate turn, and now back to where they started. You know, that's the part of it that interests me, which is, of course, the reason they're never going to mention all that. You know, considering they've only done it this is only the second time the mask has come back on, so I can't really say, well, you know, this is getting tired or worn out. You know, but honestly, you know, Kane's done, you know, what Kane has done throughout his career is lose credibility, try to regain it, lose it again, try to regain it. Even when he had the mask on and was doing Hulk Hogan impersonations.
I was there for one of those live, on the most famous one backstage. I was there for that one.
Now, it's just one of those things where, yeah, history repeats itself. It's the wrestling business. You know, there are no original ideas, just spins. That's fine. I don't mind that.
Right.
You know, the trick to all of this is, just exactly what I mentioned. This should be the culmination of their entire story. And as a stall, either between Daniel Bryan's newly won title, Triple H, you know, trying to put over Shield and Roman Reigns, and now trying to trying to think. This is my problem.
We've known this for
a
while.
It's a stopgap, to be sure, but I think it's a logical one. I think it works.
Especially, why is it every time I hear Omega said he's trying to think, I hear the Jeopardy theme in the back of my head?
So wrong, Tim.
Especially
with the circumstances where he hasn't been around, it is the perfect sort of stopgap for him. Because I don't think they've wanted to go right back to Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton from where we were last fall.
Yeah. About the only original thing you could do at this point is go to Daniel Bryan and Batista. You know, because that's where your beef is. That was the natural progression. Because, you know, Batista was the Royal Rumble winner. He was guaranteed a one-on-one match and ended up getting shoved into a triple threat. So he should feel, you know, like the title was robbed from him.
Though he was the one who tapped out at WrestleMania.
Yeah. But, that's a typical heel story. That's not what I was prepared for. You know, if it was one-on-one, he'd never win. He'd never beat me. And that's where your progression is. That's where the next step is. But between his ring rust and this goal for the Shield, because we know Roman, you know, the breakup for them was already delayed once, so, you know, they're trying to get in what they can right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't have an issue with the match. You know, other than, you know, it's not going to be the most thrilling first title defense because, you know, Kane's been around a long time now. He has lost a couple steps.
And that's why you have the Extreme Rules stipulation for all the bells and whistles.
Right.
So, Daniel Bryan retains in your mind?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to backtrack again. Divas Championship, Paige versus Tamina, Tim.
You can blame my son for having to impart some very important information as to why I had to take a quick break. I'm actually tickled pink that he called me and told me what he told me.
Okay.
That was like a hint for you to ask what he said.
So, Tim, what did your son tell you? Because I wasn't sure if this would be brought up on air or not. What did your son tell you, Tim?
Well, you know how we've talked about how he's gotten into hockey, and this was the first time he's ever played organized sports because of all of his head injuries and stuff like that, and the doctor finally cleared him. And his first team and his first game was absolutely terrible, but he was the main reason why his team won the bronze medal in the bronze medal game going down to a shootout. He just let me know, of course, calling me to welcome me home from my road trip, let me know that he was at tryouts for the new season today and yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he got actually called away from the rest of the team and told that he has been invited to the provincial team.
So he doesn't even try out.
He doesn't even have to. He's like, that's an automatic, and he doesn't realize it yet.
Well done.
So I can't help but just, man, I got the biggest grin on my face, and I'm thinking, see, look, I knew I was good, Gulch.
So have you got him a patch to be sewn on the back of his jersey that says GoNHLGo.com?
Well, that will happen once he's old enough to go to those forums located at GoNHLGo.com, brand spanking new, get into Hockey Talk and a whole bunch more.
Shameless show we are.
What website are we on, Rock?
I know. So, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, make the pick. Paige versus Tamina for the Divas Championship.
They're going to let Paige keep it for a little while. So, Paige, over Tamina.
WrestleTalkRadio.com wants to know Evolution versus the Shield.
Evolution versus the Shield?
Yes.
The Shield?
There's no chance Evolution wins.
Oh, there's always a chance Evolution will win, but why would you have Evolution win when it's a team 10 years old? What I would love to see, and we've seen this before, but it would still work. Tomorrow night, Ric Flair is scheduled to show up on Raw.
Woo!
Now, wouldn't it be awesome at the end of the segment, he actually defects from Evolution and joins the Shield?
Well, let's phrase it as backs the Shield.
Yes, backs the Shield.
Thank you
for catching me out just as I caught myself.
Do you really want to see Ric Flair trying to jump the barricade with the Shield?
Flak jacket on.
He'd be walking down the aisle, of course, naturally. But and I don't think he'd need the flak jacket. No, but that would just be seriously. That would just be a really awesome WTF moment.
And if it happens here, send royalties to tim.stein@wrestletalkradio.com.
And while you're at it, go to gonhlgo.com and join the forums.
There you go.
Is it just me? Am I the only one who thinks Ric Flair backing, joining anything to do with the Shield would be like taking them around the back and shooting them in the head?
Yes, no. You're the only one.
No, here's what you do. You bring him back in. You bring him back in, teasing him as backing Evolution, and you have him back up the Shield. You have him like poised as a supporter, as a mouthpiece, even though they don't need it. And then when it's time to break him up, and Roman Reigns goes solo face, the others form a heel team. You show that Ric Flair wasn't backing the Shield. He was backing Dean and Seth, who I think would be great under the tutelage of Ric Flair.
I was just gonna say, have Ric Flair join the Shield and on Sunday have him pull the double cross and help Evolution win, because he is the dirtiest player in the game.
Well, that's something else. It's a possible scenario that... Oh, don't do it, Rick! No! Fuck, that was good TV! See, the problem is, either way would work for me.
Daniel, but... Go ahead.
I don't know. I just see Rick... Having Ric Flair staying there with the Shield, it's like... Yeah, that just doesn't work. Sorry, Rick, but you're too old to be around these type of guys. He'd be like that creepy uncle who keeps trying to think he's still like 18 and, 18 to 25 and going to the clubs.
Quit talking about me like that, man.
But you would have Dean and Ric Flair at a club together. Think about that one.
Look, I know. Well, in that type of situation, yeah, that'd be fucking awesome because they shut the place down. But but you get the imagery I'm saying, though. It's
Rick's
too old to be with those guys, even if he, like, says, hey, I'm going to, back the Shield with money, or I want to take these kids under my wing or something. It's a group that doesn't need him. The whole thing is they don't need the approval or the tutelage or anything of any of these older guys because they're going to make themselves, which they have already done.
Because if they get backed by established talent, their coolness goes away.
Yeah. the appeal of the group and the coolness of the group goes away, which is one of their draws. So, you know, that's the only reason why I don't like the idea of Flair getting involved with them. Like, it could be if he turns around and he goes, you know, all right, Trips, you know, screw you, screw Batista, screw Orton, you know, I'm going to side with these kids. Turns around, boot to the gut, triple powerbomb, and the guys go, we don't need you, Rick, piss off. That I'm cool with.
I would like that only if they let Ric Flair take a bump. At this point,
that's a rough bump to take.
I wouldn't be surprised if Flair said, I'll take it.
It's not up to Flair at this point.
Yeah, that'd be WWE medical.
Yeah, they don't like their old guys taking bumps at this point.
Especially
true.
If their name is Jerry.
Yeah,
and yet they let the New Age Outlaws wrestle.
They're only in their 40s. Anyway, Tim. WWE?
Thank you for saying only.
Trying to make Tim feel young. WWE Extreme Rules Championship match. Daniel Bryan, Kane, go.
As when the world was new. Daniel Bryan, why give the belt to Kane? Why take it off Daniel Bryan so quickly?
Because WWE.
So, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
That will do it for the preview and pick-em portion of the show. We'll be back next Sunday to talk all about that at 11 p.m. Eastern. Right now, it's time for the great debate.
Welcome to this week's great debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute! It's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
And it goes like this. The debut of Chris Jericho against the debut of The Undertaker, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Google will not help you.
I am not Googling. This is just fucking hard. No, you know what? No, they're both good. They're both good debuts, but Jericho aside from some surprise has the surprise factor going for him because he was a known and popular talent from WCW, hopping mm-hmm. over to the competition. Mm-hmm. Taker's good. You know, Jericho's debut has the advantage of. Well, it happened during a much more competitive time.
So, 1-4-Y to J. Mace.
It's gonna be Jericho. It was the showmanship that puts him over. You know, a good showman puts his gimmick over. Unfortunately, the Undertaker, the gimmick puts the character over. So, unfortunately, Taker gets outshined by Chris Jericho, forever the used car salesman.
Speaking of, Tim.
I don't still use curse. But I would like to thank Chris Jericho for inventing the great debate right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Remember that conversation about the horse with no legs, Rock?
Should we go back to that? Anyway. Tim?
Oh, okay. What horse with no legs?
You don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
Possibly. I don't want to know. Yeah, you know, Mace said that the gimmick made the character, and Chris Jericho was a big, huge-ass talent making the jump that surprised everybody, because this was before the mainstream, or the mainlining of the internet. The build-up was totally, totally different as well. Like, you were introduced to The Undertaker before he even made his debut. And, you know, alongside with Paul Bearer, and then you got all the lowdown, and basically they're telling you who this guy is. Mm-hmm. With Jericho, the only thing you got was a countdown. And people are, you know, like, what the hell is this? And the countdown lasting for weeks and weeks and weeks. And all they did was show the countdown between breaks. Boom. And that was it. And then, all of a sudden, flashing up in the middle of Rock's promo, it counts down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, break the wall down. What the hell is this? The lights go out, and there he is on the stage, arms outstretched, turns around, and oh my God, it's Chris Jericho. Are you kidding? Ah! And he stood toe-to-toe with The Rock on the mic. That's something that not the entire roster can do, past or present. And yeah, it's Jericho's debut.
Shockmaster versus the Outsiders, Mace.
Yeah, it's the Outsiders. It's time to let the jerk get thrown in the trash. You know, the Outsiders was, again, like Jericho's, one of those things that you would never thought of happened. You know, Hall coming out through the crowd, and the next week, you know, Kevin Nash being able to sneak up on Eric Bischoff. Well, given the height of Kevin Nash, the fact that he could sneak up on anybody is a surprising fact on its own. The Shockmaster, we all had a giggle, but now it's time, let's get a little bit serious and actually get rid of the Shockmaster.
But you made the point for the Outsiders, I think, saying, oh, this is the... You'll never see this. You never thought you would see this. Well, you never thought you would see the Shockmaster either. Just point that one out. Anyway, Omega.
It's been fun while it lasted. And I honestly, for being so damn memorable, I think Shocky deserved to get this far. But... yeah, it's time to let it go. It's up against something it cannot stand against. As was the case in the 90s, you can't stand against the NWO. You know, that was the start of that's where it started, with the Outsiders. You know, it's two huge names jumping ship at the same time. You know, it's the big takeover. It's the start of an angle that was something new in professional wrestling, you know, or at the very least done at such a grand scale, you actually bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it started with the Outsiders proving, you know, they could walk in and do whatever the hell they wanted. That's a hell of a way to debut.
Tim?
Yeah, at some point in time, you've got to put your eyes back on the road and quit looking at the car wreck.
But sometimes the car wreck is so awesome to look at.
That's true. But if you keep staring at it, you're going to have to, like, turn your neck. And this is where the term rubberneck comes from, Rock, because I know you didn't know that. And then you're not paying attention to the road. You could be the cause of the next car wreck. Eventually, you got to get to where you're going on that highway, and you got to pay attention to where you're going. The car wreck's behind you in the rearview mirror. It's the Outsiders.
As Jericho and the Outsiders move on, we are down to the final eight. Next week, Kane takes on Kevin Thorne, and Mickie James takes on Big Show's WWE debut. That's for next week. Now, it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Tim, if you were to be eaten alive by an animal of your choice, which one would it be and why?
What the hell? I would be eaten alive by an animal of my choice. Bigfoot.
Why Bigfoot?
Because it would be real news and then people would say, hey, fuck, he is real.
Okay. Mace, if you were a tree, what tree would you be?
Oh my god.
If I were a tree,
if you were a tree, what type of tree would you be?
If I were a tree, what type of tree would I be?
Yes.
I'd be a log.
Channeling Barbara Walters.
Why would you be a log?
That's not a tree. That's what a tree comes after it dies.
Because it's big, it's heavy, and it's wood.
Ooh.
Well done, Omega.
Do you'd appreciate that.
I love it when I just set Omega up for a jerk. It's great.
Yeah, these days you're actually going to do it on purpose.
Oh, no, I knew what I was doing. If anybody was going to get a Ren and Stimpy reference, it would be Omega.
It's better than bad. It's good.
The question is, would you be Deadwood?
Probably. Give him a tree so we can move on.
No, but that's the thing. It wouldn't really matter what tree I am, because at that point I'd be Log. Because yeah, somebody cut me down, use me, and get rid of me. There you go.
Yeah.
That works for me. I don't care. Omega.
Yeah, fine, whatever. Moving on.
He had a logical answer for why he wanted to be a log. I'll take it. Omega, how do you clip your nails in outer space?
With a nail clipper.
But won't they fly right at your face then?
But that's not how do you deal with your nail clippings in space. My question was, how do you cut your nails in space with a nail clipper?
He's got you there. I mean, don't go Sheldon Cooper on him.
That works for me. Tim, if you were given a free, and for you, something free is good, a free full-page ad in the newspaper and had to sell yourself in 6 words or less, how would the ad read?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh my god. That is 6 words.
No. Yeah, you know what? You took log, take that, forget it. Oh my god.
No.
With a big picture of me.
No, it's just words. You have to describe yourself in 6 words. Do it. Sell yourself to him. You're the salesman. Do it.
No, I'm not. I don't sell anything. I give it away.
Explain so much, but no, sell it.
The only thing I don't do is stand on a street corner. Shut up. Working for MasterCard will do that to you. Oh, did I say that? I shouldn't. Never mind.
Edit. Anyway, say it. 6 words.
So bad he's good. Tim Stein.
Okay.
Not just another pretty face. What do you want? I don't.
Clearly not that. Anyway, Maze.
Fuck off, asshole.
You set yourself up for that one.
Maze, you didn't have to follow through.
Always do. Maze, if you could be any letter in the alphabet, which would you be?
Yeah, go Philly, go.
If I could be any letter in the alphabet, what would I be?
Be a Z.
No, actually, I'd be X.
Why?
Because then he would rate?
no, no, well, X-Man.
Well, not
you can hang
that,
out with Wolverine that way.
Well, you think about it, X has quite a lot of uses. X can also be the substitute for a signature. X can have some of the most infuriating words to spell out in Scrabble.
Xylophone.
You can also be an X-Man. You will always be 10. Or multiples of 10 in Roman numerals. It has many uses and functions.
Yes. You will mark the spot. You are half exactly. of hugs and kisses.
Yep. And I'm always going to be over treasure.
Omega, if you were a part of a bicycle, which part of the bicycle would you be and why?
So many parts. Okay, this really depends on the rider. Because there are certain answers that only qualify under certain situations.
Be as general as possible.
General as possible. I think I want to be the chain.
Why?
Oh, because we all know this by now. If you didn't have me, you'd just be kicking your legs, getting nowhere.
Oh, God, why don't we just end this show?
Please do.
Everybody, that was another edition, an abbreviated edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Wrestle Talk Radio, don't forget, the website is back. www.wrestletalkradio.com. More content to be added on a regular basis. You can catch some archives of some previous shows thought to be lost forever, but recovered through the ingenious, miraculous technology that is the Internet. Monday night, right after Raw, approximately 25 minutes past the end of Raw.
Give or take, is
right after Raw. I don't care what you say, you the Raw post-show. I like right after Raw. And that's 3 hours worth of Raw, broken down into approximately 45 minutes.
Checking out the Raw post-show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right after Raw. It's just too Canadian for me.
No, take right after Raw. Take the first letter of each word. Yeah, what does it spell?
Yeah, I got it.
Exactly.
But it was also...
That's not Canadian. That's awesome. All right, Tuesday night. Well, go fishing. Wednesday night, go fishing again. Thursday night, tune into The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
Newly graduated Lindsay Ward, which is why we weren't live last Thursday, but we did have a show for you to listen to. We'll be back live this Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Talking TNA Sacrifice, previewing Extreme Rules, and recapping NXT a little bit, and whatever else we can possibly think of. Visit RackRadioShow.com, follow the show on Twitter, @WTRTheRack, and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check out The Rack Extra on Friday afternoon for Season 2, Episode 6 review of Total Divas, Episode 5, now streaming and available for download at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com.
Okay, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it. It's another edition of Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
The weird, the wacky, the unusual, and see how good they did on their picks this week, and what other weird stuff we possibly ever think of. Follow the show on Twitter, @CBRadioWTR, and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas.
And, of course, next Sunday night, what's going on, Rock?
Extreme Rules will be live at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Absolutely. That's right. It's another late start because of a pay-per-view. And so you want to tune in. You want to get our reviews. You want to find out if we think that maybe you should catch the replay if you couldn't catch it live. We'll let you know right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, everybody, no word of a lie, serious. I know it's the end of the hockey season, but it gives you all summer to get it going. There are a couple of hockey fans that listen to on a regular basis. Go to GoNHLGo.com. Well, our main push is the forums. We want to get that thing up and active and running and going absolutely ballistic, especially by the time the 2014-15 hockey season starts. Don't forget the playoffs are in full swing. Congratulations to the Anaheim Ducks for advancing to the second round tonight, you bastards. Hey, the New York Rangers rock. What happened there? Oh, my goodness. Does Philly have a chance?
Yes.
Of course you'd say that. You're from Philly, and you're a fan of the Flyers.
Exactly. Exactly, Tim.
That being said, why don't we just get bugger off, get out of here. Don't forget, GoNHLGo.com. I would love to have you guys get moving into that forum. That'll be great. It's not for kids.
No, it's not. But you can follow the network on Twitter, which is me, at Wild Talk Radio, on Twitter and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And let those two shield their stuff. Mace?
Not a lot coming out of me for the next couple of weeks, because, well, I'm lazy as fuck. No, I'm just fucking lazy. Follow me on Twitter, at The Mace Thing. I do tweet things during Raw, usually complaints about what the fuck's going on. I do have something sitting on the hard drive that requires me to sit here and edit for fucking God knows how many hours.
Welcome to my life.
There you go. I was waiting for that.
That would be a nice nearly 7-hour playthrough of Omega and myself going through a Borderlands DLC expansion, which has our usual crude jokes, humor, and all sorts of what-the-hell moments.
We shoot dwarves.
So, yeah, we shoot dwarves. It's fun. And also guns, shotguns that shoot swords. So once I get that uploaded onto the YouTubes, I shall start putting that up on our Facebook page and probably on the site as well. I'm also trying to get, you know, review copies of games that have been owed to me. Hopefully they get here eventually. But other than that, yeah, I ain't got much else going.
Omega, your turn.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at TJ Omega. I do fuck all for wrestling, but apparently I'm amusing because people follow me. All my stuff can be found at Facebook at TJ Reviews, or on YouTube as TJ Omega, or TJOmega.org, or wherever Google tells you that people have copied my videos to.
There you go. I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, have yourselves a great week, and we'll catch you next Sunday night. Here's the WTF. That's right, the what-the-fuck moment to leave you with for this week. Why do they bother making porn videos any longer than 8 minutes? See you later.
Tim, some of us want to know if they actually do get the plumbing fixed.
I walk from my machine. I'd say fuck the plumbing, but that would just be too obvious.
You guys are sick fucks.
No legs.
WildTalkRadio.com